Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
I know I'm a better coach in 20 than I was in 19 with him on the grass.
When you heard the news that you guys were going to get DeAndre Hopkins, you know, what went through your mind?
I thought it was a joke.
Man, we got to do a better job of actually pulling the trigger and hiring, and that falls on those that hire.
We have to force Andy Dalton to beat us.
It's episode 4 of All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. The name says it all. If you like what you hear, download and subscribe and make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. You can also watch us on YouTube. Just visit youtube.com/allthingscovered. Pat, what are we going to cover on this episode?
Today, we're going to cover our win versus the Jets. And also, we have a very, very, very special guest and coach, Mike Tomlin, coming up.
Now it's time to chop it up. Chopping Up is a segment me and Pat get into other things outside of football. If you guys didn't know, we love basketball. Our favorite NBA team is the Lakers. You see, I got my Laker fitted on right now, rocking the Lakers gear. Yeah. And if you've been living under a rock, the Lakers are the best team in the NBA. They just won the championship.
17.
Pat, you played on the East Coast. I don't know exactly how much of the game you saw because I know you were traveling back from New York to Arizona. But what are your thoughts about Sunday night?
Man, Mac, you know how much of the game I saw Sunday?
How much? Zero. So you had a result to highlights.
Man, I was hurt, man. I'm calling everybody. The plane is not even on the ground yet. I'm calling everybody right now, man. What the score is, we won. My boy is like, yeah, man, it's over, man. We killed them boys. We won by 13. So it was definitely a satisfying landing knowing that we captured our 17th championship. But watching that series, I told you it was going to be tough, Matt.
Yeah,
I told you it was going to be tough. I said I thought we would get it in 6, and we did get it in 6 because Heat was just a scrappy team, man. I knew Jimmy Butler, he was going to be in his bag, and they came to play as well. They just was outpowered. Thought they were definitely good enough to at least win 2 games, and that they did. So shout outs to the Lakers and LeBron and the gang.
Also, JR, you got a personal relationship with JR Smith, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was just about to say shout out to my boy JR Smith for getting his second one, man. I got to get shirtless JR Smith on the podcast for sure.
Yeah, we got to get JR on the podcast, yeah. But he might have to be shirtless because, you know, whenever he wear a championship, he walks around with no shirt on for a few months. So I think that's only appropriate. Pat, you know, you're not like most of these bandwagon fans. You know, you've been liking the Lakers your entire life. What brought you to that team? Why is the Lakers your favorite NBA team?
Man, I don't know. I think my first time actually getting an opportunity to watch Kobe live, and I think they played the Raptors. My first time ever watching was like on a Sunday evening on ABC, like in the springtime. I can't remember like the exact time of the year, but I remember it being Sunday watching them on ABC playing Toronto. You know, him not having a great game, and the next time it was on to a bad game, but yeah, and he was just talking about the next opportunity that, you know, when he get out on the court, he's going to put work harder in the gym. And those shots that he missed in that previous game, that's not going to happen again. So seeing the way he responded the following game, coming back from those air balls, you know, and becoming into the player that he is today, you know, and just the, you know, the tenacity, the rage, and, you know, just the high basketball IQ that he brings to the game. It just, I don't know, it was appealing to me. So ever since 98, I was a huge, huge Kobe fan and a Laker fan. And to this day, I'm still a Laker fan, man. So I'm definitely not a bandwagoner. I've been a fan since I was 8 years old.
No, you're a true fan, man. My fandom with the Lakers, I think, started back in the mid 80s. You know what I mean? And, you know, at that time living in South Carolina, we only had one TV in the house, and Uncle Roger used to control the TV. Yeah. So he used to control the TV. I was either watching sports or Star Trek. I hated Star Trek, by the way, but shout out to Star Trek. Yeah, but growing up watching basketball, you know, when I was watching basketball as a youngster, I started to gravitate to the Lakers because they made playing basketball fun. Granted, they had the nickname Showtime. Right. You know what I mean? So when Magic was controlling the point, the way he handled the ball, the fancy no-look passes, the alley-oops, Byron Scott coming off the perimeter, James Worthy, man. I just love their style of play. So as a child, it was fun watching them make other people look silly, right? So I was just like, yo, the Lakers, I just like the Lakers. And also too, the swag they played with, because swag wasn't a big emphasis on sports back in those days, but they had swag. You know what I mean? Anytime you watch a Laker game in the Great Western form, you don't see nothing but the court. Everything else in the arena was dark until you got to the court and you see Jack Nicholson. You see the who's of who there sitting on our baseline courtside. So I was like, man, that's the type of basketball I love and I want to cheer for. So that's when I became a Laker fan. I just rode the wave. I mean, going back to your hometown favorite, Eddie Jones, when he was a part of the Lakers. Yeah. He was one of my favorite Lakers growing up. All right, now it's time for Cardinals check-in. Here's where we recap the Arizona Cardinals' previous ball game, and that ball game was against the New York Jets there in New York. The Cardinals were victorious, 30-10. Leading up to that ball game, though, Pat P, you know, I text you throughout the weekend, were you guys going to play? I think it was Saturday because we heard about the positive test. And now, in actuality, that was a false positive. But were you afraid that the game potentially could get canceled or postponed?
Not really. You know, I'm the type of guy that goes with the flow. If the game was going to be canceled, the game was going to be canceled. If we was playing the game, we was playing the game. You know, so everything was going as planned as far as on our side. That's what the team was telling us leading up to because we left Friday. Mm-hmm. So leading up to the flight to the airport, they said everything was planned. They said it was only one player. Hopefully no one else on the team had an attractive virus and no one didn't. So we ended up playing the game and getting a dub. And it was a fun plane ride back to the desert.
I bet it was. Unfortunately, you wasn't able to see the Laker game, like you said earlier. But you guys won, and of course, the Lakers won. So you had a great Sunday. A guy that actually balled out for the Arizona Cardinals offensively was DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, six receptions for 131 yards, one touchdown. Going back, we kind of spoke about Bill O'Brien and when he got fired, and Bill O'Brien traded D-Hop to you guys. But, man – and let's go back in time. When you heard the news that you guys were going to get DeAndre Hopkins, you know, what went through your mind?
I thought it was a joke. That's why I did. Because, you know, you see so many of those things that, you know, this player's been traded here. This player got picked up there. So I was like, man, this can't be real.
Yeah.
And when I saw it officially on the Cardinals website and the Cardinals post, I was like, oh, that's dope, man. We got an opportunity to be really good, because it's not many times that you have the opportunity to get one of the best receivers in the game, you know, if not the best receiver in the game, to add on to this young talented roster that we already have. So I was like, man, he could be the missing piece, you know.
No question.
Honestly, you know,
especially
what I mean?
With your quarterback.
He can take the top off defenses, and he can, I believe he's the missing piece that can free up everybody else. And I believe he's been doing that. And, you know, it's going to fall on Kyler to make sure that, you know, we try to play mistake free football, turnover free football, and, efficient football, and to where that when those, you know, areas are efficient, you know, we get W. So I was excited when I heard the news, and he's been nothing but a great teammate since he got here. So sky's the limit for us, man.
I mean, no question. He's been a beast, and fantasy owners who have him on their roster, they're smiling because he's been putting up big time numbers. But Pat, everything wasn't all smiles and giggles throughout that victory against the Jets. You guys had a key player on the defensive side that got injured in Chandler Jones. And I've been saying this for quite some time. I think he's one of the more undervalued defensive players in the National Football League. The last two sacks, all Chandler Jones has provided has been, 32 sacks. He's been getting at the passer. And, you know, not having him in the lineup could be a big loss. But what are you hearing about his injury, and what does he mean to your defense?
Honestly, I haven't heard anything about the injury yet. I just know it's a bicep injury. You know, I don't know if it's a tear or partially torn. I haven't got any information just yet. But, you know, that's a big blow to this team, because, you know, this, you're talking about a guy that averaged a sack a game. Sacks don't fall off trees. You know, those are very, very hard to come out. We're talking about that a guy that had 19 or something like that, something crazy like that last year.
Yeah, so, one year he had 19.
So, you know, it's hard to replace a guy like that. You know, you're not going to find, you know, a guy like that sitting on the couch, you know, so it's going to be a big blow for sure. Now we just got to rush by committee. You know, we have to find a way to rush by committee, you know, find ways to open other guys up and just be effective that way. I mean, honestly, we have no choice now. You know how it is, you know, like Coach Mike T talked about, you know, we can't be in the, what do you say? We can't be in the labor pain. We got to be in the business of making babies. So
delivering them,
delivering babies. So we can't be complaining about or making excuses about the guys that we lost. We have to find ways to replace them in the best manner that we can.
Well, you guys going to find out extremely soon because week 6, you travel to Dallas.
Yeah.
Where everything is big. In the state of Texas, right? Monday night football, the first Monday night football game action for the Arizona Cardinals. You're playing against a very, very potent offense, right? The number one passing offense in the National Football League currently, exactly 1,978 yards through the air, completing 68% of their passes on all passing opportunities, but they will be without their star quarterback in Dak Prescott, an ugly injury that occurred against the New York Giants. But they got a veteran who's going to take the snaps from under center and Andy Dalton. The potential matchups that you guys will face in this ball game is going to be extremely intense to watch. You know, they got three wide receivers that are really good. You know, you got a outstanding quarterback, I mean, running back, and then a experienced, serviceable quarterback. You know, the matchup against your defense for you guys is what? What do you guys need to do to have success against the Cowboys offense?
Run, stop the run. We definitely got to stop the run and force, not saying that he can't do it, but, you know, we have to force Andy Dalton to beat us. Do we feel if you take the ball out of Elliott's hands, you know, there's more opportunities for bad things to happen when the ball is in the air versus the ball is getting carried, you know, so. Andy Dalton is definitely a very, very serviceable backup, quality backup. I mean, I think I saw a crazy stat. Andy has like, 31,000 passing yards?
No question. He's been putting a lot of work.
It's not many backup that, and technically he's not a backup. He could be a starter in this league.
Exactly.
I mean, he was a starter in this league, you know, so he got starter numbers. So to have a guy, a starter as your backup, I mean, that's huge. And I believe Coach Mike McCarthy did the right thing by going out and getting a veteran quarterback, you know, just in case something like this did occur. But that was a nasty injury to see my man Dak Prescott go out like that on a contract year. And then, you know, just talking about on the plane, you know, you wonder why ball players ask for what they ask for, because, you know, your body is on the line each and every time you step out on the field, and the game can be taken from you at any given moment, you know. We got probably one of the most gruesome games that's ever been played. We have to feel like we're freaking begging for, you know, crumbs, you know, in a sense, you know, because, you know, other people don't view, you know, our worth or our body in a certain way. So now you wonder why, you know, superstars and players that feel that they're worthy of what they're asking for, ask for what they ask for, because you have to get what you can in a short amount of time.
Yeah. Last question for you, Pat. Cardinals check in. We're talking about the upcoming matchup with the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Arizona will travel to Dallas for that big time NFC matchup. Have you ever picked off Andy Dalton before?
Nope.
So you never intercepted Andy Dalton?
Not that I can think of.
I mean, I know you done picked off a whole lot of quarterbacks, so you really got to think, but I know your career real well, and I don't think you ever picked off Andy Dalton.
I don't think so either.
Well,
I don't think so either, Matt.
Well, you know what that means. I mean,
Monday first go around.
No question. No question. It's only right. It's only right you pick him off, but it's even righter that you do it Monday night.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's only right that you do it Monday night. So I just want to put that little bug in your window so you can see it and knock that bug off when you get chance to. So make sure we go ahead and get that first interception on Andy Dalton. I think that'd be big. And then, of course, we can recap that on next week's show here on All Things Covered,
which is going to be released on Wednesday.
No question. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, Wednesday, because we're going to record Tuesday with Pat P after their victory against the Cowboys, and we're going to drop this outstanding episode next week, episode on Wednesday morning. So make sure
after
you
I hold it high for my boy Prime Time.
Hold it high. Yeah, you got to give us a dance in Dion's house.
Yes, sir. Everybody can see it.
It's halftime now for me and Pat, all things covered. But after this halftime opportunity, we will come back with our special guest, Mike Tomlin.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now we're back from break, and like we said early in the show, we promise you guys an outstanding, amazing guest. He's currently in the show with us right now. 14 seasons as the head coach of the best organization in the National Football League, the Pittsburgh Steelers, a Super Bowl champion, never finished below 500 in any coaching season. That's consistency at its finest. Currently, his team is 4-0. The Pittsburgh Steelers head coach, Mike Tomlin, is joining us here on All Things Covered. Coach T, man, we appreciate you joining us. How's everything going?
Man, I'm blessed every day. B-Mac, man, it is just great to be on with you, man. One of the great pleasures of having this job as long as I've had it, man, is to work with dudes like you, man, and see them succeed not only in football but in life. And so it's just really cool to be with you, man, and to see you excelling in your next space, man.
I appreciate it. Coach, you know, you used to tell us all the time the standard is the standard, right?
And it does not change.
No question. No question, man. The standard is the standard, man. Pat P, man, Coach T used to give us some Tomlinisms. We'll get into that a little later. But, man, Coach T, man, he know how to get you fired up at any given time. Right now, you got your guys fired up, Coach T. Y'all 4-0, a great start out. I think the Steelers haven't been 4-0 since 1979. And that said, yeah, I think they won the Super Bowl. So hopefully that trend will continue. But talk about, what's the biggest reason for the 4-0 start this year?
You know, there's a selflessness about this group, and I think that helps you in those sticky circumstances. You know, we've got some dominant players, and we got units that are capable of dominating the games. But the significant thing is they support one another when the chips are down, and I think that that's starting to reveal itself. You know, we weren't able to get off last week on third down defensively, but the offense was able to maintain possession of the ball. And so we were able to get out of the stadium with the win. And I think you got to have a well-balanced team across all three phases to walk the journey. And we appear that we have enough strength in all three phases to do that. And there's an unselfishness in the group that doesn't allow them to get down in the face of adversity, man. They've been really good in supporting one another.
Talking about adversity, I mean, your star quarterback faced a lot of adversity last year, missing basically the entire season. But now he's back in that uniform. He's looking comfortable. 3 touchdowns this past Sunday. He now has a total of 10 touchdowns and 1 interception on the year. He's 38, Coach, but he looking like he can still go. How much longer do you think Big Ben will play?
I don't know, man, but I know I'm a better coach in 20 than I was in 19 with him on the grass. You know, I'm appreciating having him back, man. You know, I'm a small pitcher guy. You know, we're not looking past this journey that we're on. Man, he's got great health and physical condition. He's not knocking the rust off, man, with each appearance. And so, man, he's finding his stride, man, and so are we.
Hey, Coach, man, I must say I admire you from afar for many, many years since B-Mac been playing with you guys, since I've been in high school and obviously watching your career grow as my career grow in the NFL. But with you being a defensive-minded coach and coming from the Minnesota defensive staff back in the day, what is the best defense you coached?
Wow. man, you know, it's been different. And what I mean is, and that's the cool thing about being in this league for 20 years now. I have the perspective of that. I think defenses dominate in different ways, man. Mm-hmm. Some of the early defenses that I had here in Pittsburgh, like the 08 Super Bowl champion defense that B-Mac was a part of, man, that was a kick-ass defense, meaning that, you know, we were going to win the line of scrimmage and beat you up and win by attrition that way. Some of the defenses out that I happen to be a secondary coach for down in Tampa, and we won a world championship, man, we were athletes, man. We created turnovers. We got after the passer. We didn't necessarily beat you up physically, but we won. We won by making splash plays. And so it's really tough to distinguish which one is more effective, because we had great players, Hall of Fame players, who were built differently, and we constructed the defenses to fit their skill set. You know, we had Derrick Brooks down in Tampa, man, and that guy was a gazelle. He looked like the animal that he hunted. He was like the feature running backs, man. He'd come out of games with the ball in his hand just about every week. And in Pittsburgh, man, we had dominant outside linebackers, man, like James Harrison and Lamar Woodley, that absolutely beat you up. And so the means that they go about dominating games was so different. It's tough to distinguish, but I've learned to have an appreciation for both. One thing I do know, you know, when you with one, you know, when you with a dominant group, you know, when you with a defensive group that's got the goods, you know, and I think that's what's exciting about the group that we're working with right now. It's really early in the journey, but they're showing signs of the type of group that could be the type of group that's got the goods.
Well, with you having 20 plus years experience in this league, I know this might be tough now. Give me your top three best defensive players.
Players.
Yeah.
Wow.
That you coach, coach, either as a head coach or assistant.
Hey, Troy and Brooks. Troy and Brooks. And then I might, you know, and then it gets tough, man. I might have to go with Warren Sapp, man, 99.
Yeah.
Ooh. You know, but you talking Troy and Brooks, you talking about first ballot Hall of Famers, you talking Warren Sapp, you talking about a second ballot Hall of Famer. Right. So, you know, it's tough to argue against some of those guys, man. Just the routine freakish things that I saw from those guys the years that I worked with them really make them a cut above. And that's the reason why they wear the gold jackets and the manner in which they wear the gold jackets in terms of early enshrinement.
So, Coach, Troy would be one, Derrick Brooks two, and Warren Sapp three. That's the ranking?
I didn't say that.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. I was just trying to put you on the spot a little bit. I was trying to see if you paying attention.
Hey, I'll take the one you don't take. How about that, B-Mac?
I like that. Hey, Coach, I definitely like that. I'll try to put you on the spot, see if you get a ranking, but I like what you're doing. That's fair. Well, now, with defensive players, you've been around some of the iconic defensive players you've been around. You've been around a lot of offensive guys, too. But one position the Steelers have been known to really hit on year in and year out has been wide receivers. I think the last wide receiver to be selected by the Pittsburgh Steelers was Santonio. And I think it was in 2006, if I'm not mistaken. But outside of that, you guys have been able to hit on wide receivers in the late round, and they cash in big time. Talk about what has been the main ingredient for the success at wide receivers when you look at drafting guys like Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, Deontay Johnson, Martavius Bryant, Juju Smith-Schuster, and now you got a new toy in Clay's Chapoo, man. What has been the main ingredient being able to hit on these guys?
I think the most significant thing first is just there's so many of them out there. There's so much spread football in college, man. If you just open your mind up to evaluating all the types of guys that are available, you know, you got the slots from the spread offenses. You got the X's that work backside of trips in some of the 3-by-1 offenses. You got the outside winners. They're outside man-to-man route winners and things of that nature. We've always taken an approach that we don't make judgments based on the type of offenses that they're in. We just look at their skills. And so first and foremost, we're interested in football players first, man. Guys that show a certain toughness that goes above and beyond the position, or a certain competitive spirit that goes above and beyond the position. Case in point, you were teammates of a number of those guys, man. Very rarely will you find a speed guy that's a deep threat that's as physically tough as Mike Wallace.
Yeah.
You know, he was a speed guy that was no punk, that was a tough guy, that didn't back down from physical confrontations. He was 200 pounds, etc. Emmanuel Sanders and AB were 180 pounders who were uniquely tough and competitive for 180 pounders. They were wiry strong. They didn't turn down competition. And I think that that's the things that, that are most important to us, that they're football players first, and that has to be revealed to us in a certain way. And we don't care by what way it reveals itself. We fell in love with Claypool by the way he sunk his teeth into the special teams combat down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. This guy was special teams MVP, I think, at Notre Dame, his second year in school there. So he showed football awareness and things that were outside the wide receiver position. And for us, we believe that that's a good indicator that you got a football player, and then they're going to do the things that wide receiver position required. To me, Hines Ward is a nice blueprint for that, right? That no dude question. Was a wide receiver, but he was so much more.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a standard bearer for us. We're looking for football players who happen to play wide receiver. And Hines is just a good blueprint for that, man, a guy that I just appreciated on that level and really have modeled the evaluation and selection of others just based on that principle alone.
Well, Coach T, man, I shared many Tomlin-isms on air. You know, you come up with a lot of Tomlin-isms. I don't know if that's a thing now, but we need to get some T-shirts made, Tomlin-isms. So I said some of your Tomlin-isms on air before, such as it's a five-star matchup because we're in it. I remember that was our 08 season. The standard is the standard. And yesterday, after Sunday's ball game, you said the strength of the pack is the pack. Where do you come up with these, and do you have a favorite?
Man, you know, I'm always trying to find ways to deliver a message in a way that's maybe catchy or captures your attention, and things that I can remember so that I can repeat over time. I think part of being a good communicator is acknowledging that people are kind of poor listeners. So you better do some things to stimulate them, and you better be willing to repeat it. And so, you know, like you speak to, it's a five-star matchup because we're in it, because I wanted you guys to know, man, don't get caught up in the elevator music, man. Every time we step in a stadium, it's a potential for a five-star matchup. The nameless gray faces that we play are relevant if we're on our game. And so I wanted you guys to focus in on our prep and our play. And I knew that we were going to be in some big battles in an effort to get where we needed to be. So that was just a means of taking your attention off of whoever it is that we happen to be playing, and really get the group to focus on the Wednesdays. That I would say that, because I would always say it on the Wednesdays.
Yep. Yep.
And it would get the week started. And it was a way of getting the trajectory of the week started in terms of us focusing on our work. And really, it's the same for all of them. For me, I love the standard is the standard. That's probably my favorite because, you know, we're not in an excuse making business. And if we're not careful, man, we'll spend a bunch of time making excuses, talking about who's available to us and who's not. The lack of fluidity and schedules, maybe because of pandemic circumstances, et cetera, et cetera. The bottom line is, man, we all got challenges, meaning all 32 of us. And so, man, you just proceed with that understanding, and you don't waste a whole lot of time talking about your misery. You just find ways to overcome it, because that guy on the other side has got the same issues. We like to pretend like they don't, but they do. And so, man, we don't want to make excuses. There's a standard of expectation in Pittsburgh, and that standard is winning. And if you wear the black and gold, man, and you run out of that tunnel, man, you assume those responsibilities.
Well, Coach, speaking about those other 32 teams, we know you had an opportunity at the Dolphin job. Can you tell us a little bit how life would be different if you would have took the Dolphin job over the Steelers?
Hey, man, I don't know, man. I don't plan on failure, so I don't know that the journey would be that different. You know,
I like it.
My kids would probably live a different lifestyle in South Florida, man. I had two boys, man, that are college football players that probably would have loved to grow up in South Florida, running with two dogs down there and playing sports. You know,
I'll tell you what, I can explain.
They got much respect for that South Florida athletics and the way it gets done down there, man. Just my personal life, you know, the lifestyle, more than anything, man. I worked in Tampa for 5 or 6 years, man. I do pool parties and stuff during the holiday season and things of that nature. So it's a different quality of life. In terms of the job, I refuse to acknowledge that I can see it any way different, any differently. I punch the clock and I keep my head down and hard working. And I think that's the secret of longevity and getting what you're hunting. And so, you know, from a football standpoint, I don't know that it would be different.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this much. The Dolphin fans clearly feel like at that time they should have went your direction instead of, I think Cam Cameron was the guy they decided to hire Cameron over you. But, you know, Pittsburgh, we're not complaining. We did some big things and you're still doing some big things. But now with the Miami Dolphins, Brian Flores is the head coach. He's a minority, right? And you look at the lack of minority coaches in the National Football League. Why are there so few black minority head coaches in the NFL?
And the bottom line, we could spend a lot of time, you know, talking about the reasons why, you know, the identification of worthy candidates, the pathway through to elevation and all of those things. And all of those things are legitimate arguments. But those arguments have been ongoing and those procedures are underway and have been underway. The bottom line is those that are in a position to hire, man, aren't hiring them at the rate that we're all comfortable with. And that's the reality of it. I don't know that anybody stands opposed to minority hiring, but when jobs are available, minorities are not getting hired. And so, you know, that's what we have to address. It doesn't appear to be attitudes. It doesn't appear to be, you know, pathways and symposiums and development and things of that nature. Man, I've been involved in those type things formally and informally for 20 years since I've been in the league, whether it was myself and getting an opportunity to participate in it or being someone that mentors and helps out and aids in the development of others. Those things have been ongoing. The bottom line is, man, we got to do a better job of actually pulling the trigger and hiring, and that falls on those that hire.
In the offseason, the league consider incentivizing minority hires with draft pick compensations. What made that the incorrect solution?
You know, it's somewhat insulting on some levels, man. And I think a lot of people, particularly some veteran guys that I admire, like Tony Dungy and Marvin Lewis, expressed that. And I agree with them. But at the same time, man, the rate of hiring is an embarrassment as well. And so for me, I'm open to any and all conversations. I don't necessarily know that is the solution, but I didn't stand strongly against it because I am just interested in any dialogue that will generate an improvement in the hiring. And so I'm all ears, particularly I'm all ears as it pertains to the words and thoughts and feelings of those that hire, the ownership and their perspective on the matter. Because the bottom line is, man, we got to do better than what we're doing right now in 2020.
Do you feel, Coach, that minority coaches, they have more pressure in front of them when it comes to being a head coach for a national football organization compared to other coaches?
I definitely believe that there's some challenges that we as minorities face that our peers do not. But, you know, that's life, man. I'm sure that, you know, C-level executives across all walks of life from a minority standpoint share similar experiences and adaptations and so forth. I don't spend a lot of time, you know, talking about the labor pains, man. I just try to deliver the baby. And I try to do it in such a way that it makes it easier for the next doctor, no matter who he or she may be. You know what I mean?
Coach T, we might have to add that one to your Tomlin-isms, right?
I like that.
I don't care too much about the labor pain. I just want to deliver the baby. I like that one, Coach. Sir. I might steal that one.
Yeah, I just want to give you a little something tonight, B.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach, we know you got a hectic schedule. This is my last one for you. What is your message during this time with the election approaching?
One of the things that I've really been interested in, man, is opinions. Everybody has them and so forth and positions political. And it's cool to watch younger people be engaged and have a political opinion. But opinions are one thing, man. Action's another. And so, you know, I've really been impressed by the actions of individuals and collectives in the midst of the current political climate. Not only just in terms of voting, man, but encouraging others to be active participants in gathering information and engaging in the political process. I think it's cool, man. I think that your generation, to be quite frank, is more engaged in that than mine. And, mm-hmm. and so as a guy that's looking at it with 48-year-old eyes and has sons that are 18 and 19, man, I'm proud of that generation and what they're doing and the manner in which they're going about doing it. Their utilization of technology as a platform of empowerment, social media, and having the ability to express themselves, man, are things that mm-hmm. we didn't have. And so you see it really just moving in a lot of positive ways. Think about the BMAC, think about the voice that the college football player has today that you and I yep. didn't have because of what social media and having an opportunity to represent themselves and the thoughts and feelings provides them. Now, there's responsibility that comes with that, and they can't be reckless. But boy, what an awesome opportunity. And the way that it's being utilized right now, man, is an encouragement to me and exciting to me. And it's cool to fall in line and follow behind some young, dynamic leaders, man, that our society has to offer, particularly in the athletic world.
Well, you know, speaking of leaders, Coach, you're a great leader, a great man, and you continue to keep chopping wood, man. And we appreciate you joining us here on All Things yes, Covered, sir. Man. Me and Pat P, man, Pat know about you, and you've been known about Pat since his high school days. So we all feel like we're family right now, but we know you're busy, doubt. Man. Hey, we know you're busy, man. Keep chopping yes, wood. You got a big ball game coming up this weekend, man. And you know what, Coach? I'm pretty sure when the folks in Pittsburgh, you know, see this or hear this, they're going to get some shirts made Tomlin isms, man. So go ahead and let's print the t-shirts.
Man, I respect and appreciate you guys, man. It's cool to see that you guys are still tight and still holding it down, man, as yes, life sir. Progresses, man. All the best to you, Pat P. As appreciate you continue it, to do what it is that you do. And BMAC, you know where I am. You can always holler at me, man. Steal it for life.
I appreciate the standard is the standard.
You know it,
yes,
brother.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, Coach.
Yo, Pat, what are some of the things you learned through our conversation with Mike T?
Man, Mike T, one, is a great communicator.
No question.
And yes. two, it seems, and I haven't really been around Coach, you know, like personally, but it seems like Coach is a man's man, if you know what I mean.
No question. I mean, he doesn't hold any punches. He give it to you yeah. straight. That's why, you know, he has so much respect, throughout the league and throughout his life because, you know, you right. respect people who handle you as such. And, and like you said, he's a great communicator. I've been around a lot of quality, iconic coaches in my life. Right. And I think when it comes to communicating and motivating, some of the things he says is like, wow, really?
Right. You know, I can tell.
And it's funny for me hearing that he was basically using his Tomlinisms on Wednesdays because Pat, you know, Wednesday is usually the hard grind day
right.
for us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's the hardest day of the week.
Get your mind right.
Yeah. You got to get your mind right. And every Wednesday, now it makes sense. We would be in our team meeting and he'll come up with something. You know what I mean? Say something to us that would register to us mentally. And then it would transition throughout our entire body. And we go out on Wednesday, regardless of what month it is, could be November, late in the season, you know, January, we're going to give it out all. And it makes sense because he was finding ways to motivate us, verbally. And the results were seeing quality practice reps, on the football field.
Man, that's awesome, man. Now, Mike T, he definitely got it going on. And like I told him, I admire watching him from afar, not having the opportunity to, like I said, be around him. But for a guy that consistently, you know, is over 500 with his quarterback, not being with him, you know, 70% of the time, no matter who's out there playing for him, his team's going to be well prepared every time they suit up to play a football game for sure. Thank you, everyone, for listening to our fourth episode of All Things Covered. If you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe and follow and leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. And we'll be back next Wednesday where you can expect all things will be covered. Peace.
Peace.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Hands where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it up. New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.